There's a fair reputation for alums for this orchestra going on to great things. Your predecessors at the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, former music directors now running the New York Philharmonic. Any pressure to excel here?
Lots of pressure, always. We always want to strive for bigger and better things.
How did it come about that you accepted the job? And how was the approach made to you to take this on? Because it's quite a big step forward, right?
It is. Actually, it was pretty organic. As we began to post the position after Krishna left, I actually was in the process of updating the job description and looking it over, and it realized that I was already doing that job. And I had done that job previously when our last executive director, Trevor Orfman, moved on to the Illinois Symphony. So I started thinking about it and started looking at our budgets, our staffing needs, our growth potential, and all of those things, and went to the board and asked them if they would be willing, you know, for me to apply for the position, and they were. I also submitted along with that was sort of a reorganizational plan, looking at what our capacity currently was and what it needs to be, and realizing we didn't need 5 full-time staff members. We really were very comfortable with 4. 4 were functioning well. There was a good synergy on the staff and a good synergy between the staff and the board. So they did do a full search and had some people come in, somebody from Canada and somebody that was in the Liga Orchestra program, some really great candidates they reviewed. And in the end, they just asked me if I would take the position. So I'm very honored to serve in that position and looking forward to all the great things that we're going to be doing together as a staff and a board.
Your 60th season is ahead, and that's already planned, and that's already ready to go. Tell us a little bit about that. What are you trying to mark with this 60th season? Because a lot of the time, it would seem that suddenly we have this organization that's as old as Pennsylvania Ballet, as old as WRTI even, and it seems to have gradually evolved from a community orchestra to a professional orchestra to now this orchestra with a season that's one of the premier training orchestras in the country. Is that still the ideal, by the way?
Absolutely. In fact, this year we completed a new strategic plan, and it deepens that relationship with our professional interns that are our musicians. As we look back at the last couple years, and we see dozens of these musicians getting placed around the world in prestigious orchestras, we are so proud, and that just fuels us on to want to do more, to want to provide even a higher caliber of training for them, to provide better experiences for our concert goers, and to provide some unique and important educational programs that our musicians serve as teaching artists in. And as far as our 60th anniversary, we're celebrating all of that. We're celebrating our roots as a start of a community orchestra 60 years ago in Haddonfield. We're celebrating what we've become, and we're celebrating the people who helped us get there.
The potential, I would have thought, is still pretty big, notwithstanding that it's always difficult to expand. You have the other model for this is the New World Symphony in Miami, which obviously is a residential program. It's more of a conservatory experience, but it's doing similar things. It's preparing people for jobs in orchestras. Is that the Mecca? Is that the holy grail of what you do?
Well, we certainly provide the training, but they are more of an academy. People are given a stipend. They board there. They are a part of everything, every program that goes on there. And we are a training program. The musicians, a lot of them are still attending music conservatories, such as the Curtis Institute here in Philadelphia or the Juilliard School in New York. And we're a part of that training. We're the part that provides them with an audience, with Maestro Rasa Milanov conducting and teaching them. And that's the crucial part that they're missing, that they need to prepare for their auditions. They need to have that experience. And we also provide them with the unique opportunity to work as a teaching artist in our school programs. We provide in-school strings programs in the city of Camden, in 5 schools there. And we recently began to provide a program here in North Philadelphia at St. Malachy School. And these programs have been extremely successful and have been a catalyst for growth in our summer music camp and now may give birth to a youth orchestra, which we're currently exploring the options there. So a lot of exciting opportunities that the musicians get to take part in.
It was difficult when the economic recession struck for everybody, and not least for Symphony and C. You really had a downturn in government support. There was a general downturn in the amount of financial support. That's come back now, and you're back to having the same sort of season that you had prior to 2008. Any thoughts on expanding the season or playing in other venues, or is there a demand out there to have this orchestra be doing more work?
Definitely. As part of the new strategic plan, there is the requirement to provide more opportunities. And a lot of smarter opportunities happen through collaboration. In the past, we've worked with Astral Artist on concerts. We've worked with the Mendelssohn Club the last couple years. And now we're starting to talk to other organizations like the Philadelphia Singers. So when you combine resources and you expand opportunities by offering a concert here in Philadelphia and then one in New Jersey, that's a real opportunity for growth. So we're going to continue to explore those opportunities as well as additional contracted work. A few years ago, we were able...
When you say contract work, you mean recording and...
Well, recording is sometimes a part of it. We did a recording this past year with composer Paul Moravec, and he's in the process of getting that published. So we're very excited about that recording and looking forward to what he's going to do with that. But we also work with other organizations that may need us for a one-time event, such as an organization in New York City that needed to perform a concert at Carnegie Hall that we were honored to be a part of. And this year, we may have another opportunity with a concert at Lincoln Center. So it's exciting to be a part of an organization where people call you. They know your reputation. They know that you're going to bring them the very brightest and the very best musicians. And they need an orchestra, and you're their first phone call. And that's what we really get excited about. That's what we thrive on, is knowing that we're good, knowing that we can provide the opportunities, and knowing that it helps support our mission.
It's odd because I've had more than one conversation about the fact that in most regions, being maybe the third best orchestra around will be seen as an insult and as a slight. Here you have the Philadelphia Orchestra, you have the Curtis Symphony. Being even in the top five in Philadelphia is quite an achievement. Going forward, what are the artistic aspirations? Expand the season? I mean, the quality of the playing is phenomenal. The room that you're playing in is great acoustically. What are the artistic ambitions?
Well, we definitely want to expand the season. Maybe another concert next year. Maestro Milanoff has already given us his schedule, and we're looking at what his availability is, and he's got an extra slot in there that would provide us with possibly six concerts. So we'll see what type of repertoire they want to do. And ultimately, the cost of music rentals and the number of musicians needed will determine whether or not we will keep it at five or we could expand to six. But another bigger aspiration is the fact that we are producing a high-quality concert that's only performed once in the city of Camden. It's a priority for us to find a second venue where we can perform a concert possibly in the middle of New Jersey or a little further north, or possibly in Delaware. There's going to be a need there because there's some contraction in classical music in that region. So we've been exploring those options, and ideally we would be presented, but it may be that we're going to have to find the resources to just simply produce that second concert. So we are currently researching venues, and then we'll be talking with the folks at those different venues and seeing what the feasibility is and what the market looks like and what we may be able to do. But that's probably a little further out than the next year or two.
So then, I mean, you've been with this organization for several years. If I were to give you a magic wand or a crystal ball, what would 5 years from now look like? What would 10 years from now look like? And I'm guessing that you'll want to stay there for 5 and 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, we certainly would move forward with the plans that I outlined. We would definitely be performing two concerts for each program.
Your own concert hall, maybe?
I think because of the financial mess that we've seen other organizations get into with that overhead, that would not be a smart move. I think that we need to look very collaboratively of where we can work. I mean, Rutgers has certainly been an absolutely ideal partner. And, you know, they provide us with a good deal of in-kind support. So those are the types of things that we're going to look at. We don't need to reinvent the wheel and create a new performing arts center and guessing where the ideal location might be. There's plenty of inventory out there. We just need to be smart and find the right location. But as we look forward to the next 5 years, the next 10 years, it will be about smart growth and making sure that we're working within our organizational resources and capacities And it'll be about working smart, not hard.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.